How many here tonight are excited about God's Word? All right. The theme this month has been on Savior, Redeemer, and King. Savior, Redeemer, and King. And tonight's message is Redeemed and Delivered. Now, it's the Christmas month. It's December 2016, and on December 25th, we will be celebrating Christmas Day. And maybe some of you here tonight are excited about Christmas Day. I enjoy Christmas. Maybe Christmas Day for some of you is difficult, and we understand that. You know, the world, those who don't follow Jesus Christ, have their ideas of what Christmas is all about. You know, in the world, some people think that Christmas is just about exchanging gifts. Other people think that Christmas is about hanging out with family and friends. For others, Christmas is about the lights and the sights and the parties. But we, as true followers and disciples of Jesus Christ, know what the true reason for the Christmas season is. The true reason for the Christmas season is a celebration of the advent, of the coming, of the birth of Jesus into this world over 2,000 years ago, born as a baby in a manger in Bethlehem. Amen? Amen. You know, Jesus, when he was born into this world, did not come as a political king. He did not come as a political Messiah to establish a political reign as some Jews were expecting. Jesus came to this earth over 2,000 years ago as spiritual Messiah. Jesus came as the Christ, the Anointed One, to establish the reign and the kingdom of God in the lives and in the hearts of those who believe in Him. Jesus said it in Luke 17:21. He said, "The kingdom of God is within you." For those who believe in Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God is within us. It is amongst us. Jesus came as spiritual Messiah, and this is how the humble shepherds understood the coming of Jesus, as spiritual Messiah and Savior. So tonight, we're going to turn to Luke chapter 2 and read a few verses. The announcement by the angel to the shepherds about the birth of Jesus. Luke chapter 2, verse 8, if you've got a Bible, you can follow along with me. If not, I'll read it to you. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." So these shepherds were terrified of this angel. Who knows what they were thinking? They might have thought, man, did we say something wrong? Were we at the wrong place at the wrong time? It was a big angel. He was probably an intimidating angel. And in verse 10, "But the angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid. Don't fear. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people.'" Verse 11 is the key. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." A Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. You see, Jesus was born to die and to be resurrected from the dead, so that by faith in Him, we could live forever in heaven one day with God and with Jesus. So tonight, for the next few minutes, I want to talk about how Jesus came to be our Savior and Redeemer. Jesus came to this earth to redeem us in two very specific ways. Jesus came to redeem us from, number one, is found in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. The way Jesus came to deliver us. All right. Titus. Chapter 2, verse 11. Paul is writing to Titus, who had oversight of the church in Crete. So we're talking about the first way that Jesus came to redeem us, to be our Savior. Titus 2, verse 11. "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness. From all wickedness. Jesus gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and iniquity. So this word redeem in Titus 2:14 means what? This word redeem means to rescue. It means to ransom. So Jesus came to this earth over 2,000 years ago to rescue us from wickedness. Jesus came to this earth over 2,000 years ago to ransom us from captivity to sin. See, the word ransom has this thought of paying a price for the release from captivity. Jesus paid the price of shedding his blood of infinite worth to release us from captivity to sin. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came to redeem us, to set us free, to ransom us from wickedness, iniquity, captivity, and slavery to sin. Could you say amen here tonight?
Amen.
You see, there is power in the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus breaks every bondage to sin. And so tonight, maybe as you sit here, you're thinking, man, you know what? I said a salvation prayer a year ago. I said a salvation prayer, Jonathan, 5 years ago. I said, Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. But tonight I'm still struggling with the sin nature. And that might be you here tonight. Maybe tonight you're dealing with a sin in your life. Maybe you're dealing with slavery to a sinful habit in your life tonight. Maybe a certain sin tonight has mastery and control over you. Only God and you know what that is. Maybe there's some of you sitting out here tonight that struggled with looking at something that you should not be looking at, and has become an addiction in your life. And so you look at that thing, you know it's wrong, and you've become a slave to looking at something you should not be looking at. And it's eating away at your mind. It's eating away at your soul. Maybe there's some of you here tonight that have suffered tremendous loss in your life. Maybe the loss of a career. Maybe the loss of finances. Maybe the loss of a loved one. Maybe somebody divorced you. And so you feel so low tonight, so depressed, that you could do a push-up under a penny. And so to get out of that depression, to get that high, you keep going back to that drug and taking that drug to kind of try to overcome that depression that you might be in tonight. And so maybe tonight you're a slave to a chemical addiction. Maybe some of you here tonight are in pain, you're in sorrow, and to drown out your pain and your sorrow, maybe you binge on alcohol, you get drunk, and so you see yourself becoming captive to alcohol. But I'm here to tell you tonight, there's good news. Jesus came to redeem you. He came to redeem me. He came to ransom us from wickedness and captivity to any type of sin. Could you say amen here tonight?
Amen.
Jesus came to rescue us. There is power in the blood of Jesus. See, for the blood of Jesus to break every chain of bondage to sin, there is something you must do. Maybe tonight you're enslaved to looking at that thing you shouldn't be looking at. Maybe tonight you're enslaved to that drug. Maybe tonight you're enslaved to alcohol. Maybe tonight you're enslaved to speaking four-letter words. Maybe tonight you're enslaved to unforgiveness and bitterness. But there is something that you have got to do to break the mastery of sin over your life. And what is that? It's so plain, it's so simple. It's the pure gospel message. In order for sin to lose its mastery, its control over your life, you've got to put your faith, you've got to put your trust in Jesus Christ. You know that prayer that you prayed a year ago, or 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, a prayer that said, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior, is not enough. Jesus wants your entire heart. He wants all of your faith. He wants all of your trust. He wants you to be in the palm of His hands. Jesus wants friendship with you. Is that making sense here tonight? You've got to put your faith, you've got to put your trust in Jesus. That is the first step to breaking the mastery of sin and sinful habits over your life. Number two, you must submit every part of your being to the Lordship of Jesus. What does Lord mean? Lord means supreme in authority. Lord means controller. How many here have a boss? Or maybe you had a boss in the past? And maybe you work for that boss 10 hours a week, or maybe 20 hours a week, or 30 hours a week, and because he paid you, he gave you orders. And as long as those orders were ethical and moral, you would do them. But he had the authority to tell you what to do those 8 hours in a day because he was paying you, right? Well, guess what? Jesus wants to be the big boss in your life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Let me say it again. Jesus wants to be the big boss in your life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Not just once in a while, not just at Christmas time. Jesus wants to be the Lord. He wants to be the big boss over your life, over every part of your being, 24/7. Is that making sense here tonight? And it's hard to do. And it's hard to submit our lives to the Lordship of Jesus, but it happens a little at a time. And you got to pray for God's grace and God's strength and say, God, it's tough to do. It's tough to give up this drug addiction, God. It's tough to give up this alcohol. God, it's tough to give up looking at this thing I know I should not be looking at. God, it's tough to give up the four-letter words. God, it's tough to give up the bitterness and unforgiveness and retaliation against my offender. God, I can't do it on my own. And as you cry out to God, He'll give you His grace and His strength to break the mastery that sin has over you. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Jesus wants to be the Lord over every part of your life. Let me ask you here tonight, who is in the driver's seat of your life? Is it you? If you've got this mindset that this is my life, and I do with my life what I want to do, you're living in rebellion to God. God is not obligated to bless anyone who is living in rebellion to Him. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, He also wants to become your Lord. He wants to be in the driver's seat of your life. So maybe up until tonight, maybe you've been in the driver's seat of your life. Guess what? Slide on over to the passenger seat and put Jesus in the driver's seat of your life. Give Jesus the control of the steering wheel of your life. Is that making sense here tonight? Paul talks about this in Romans 6, 22. It's a good scripture. Romans 6, verse 22. So we're talking tonight about the first way that Jesus came to redeem us, to set us free, to ransom us, was from wickedness and sin. Romans 6, verse 22. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. Let me read it again, the first part of it, Romans 6, 22. But that now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God. In other words, to become free from slavery to sin, you have got to become a slave of God. You might be thinking tonight, wow, a slave to God. Let me say it again. To be set free from slavery and captivity to sin, you must become a slave to God. Those are not my words, friends. That's in the Bible, Romans 6, 22. You might be wondering tonight, well, how do I become a slave to God? You become a slave to God by surrendering to the authority and the will of God as found in the Scripture. And as you become a slave to God, guess what? The shackles of sin start breaking off your life. Is that good news here tonight? Amen? Say it with me tonight. I'm going to start becoming a slave to God in Jesus' name. I'm going to surrender to the authority and the will of God as found in the Scripture. In Jesus' name. Amen. Becoming slaves of God. Amen. So Jesus wants to be the Lord over every single part of your life. He wants to be the Lord over your mind. Are your thoughts thoughts of revenge and retaliation, or are they thoughts of forgiveness, like Jesus would forgive? He wants to be the Lord, the one in control over your words. When you stub your big toe, does a four-letter word fly out? Or does a godly word fly out? Bless God. You know? He wants to be the Lord over your spirit. He wants to sit on the throne of your heart. He wants to be Lord over every part of you. We need to become slaves to God by surrendering to the authority and the will of God as it is revealed in the Scripture. How do you find out about the will of God? By reading the Scripture? It's not enough to read God's Word at Easter and at Christmas. You need to be in God's Word on a consistent basis every single day. It might be two or three scriptures. It might be a chapter. It might be two chapters. You need to be in the Word of God consistently every single day. And as you get into God's Word, Christ-likeness is developed and formed on the inside of you. You start becoming more like Jesus by the washing of the water of the Word. Is that making sense? Say it tonight. I'm going to start reading God's Word on a more consistent basis in Jesus' name. Amen. Friend, it's something you just got to start. You know, it's you pray for God's help, pray for His grace, pray for His strength to be disciplined in reading His Word consistently. It's not always easy, but you got to do it. You know, and as I said, you might start out with three or four scriptures in a day. And then from that, you move to a chapter. And then maybe you move to two chapters. And you get into God's Word. You read His Word. You think about what you read. You mull on it. You become more like Jesus. You become more like God. And as we become slaves to God by getting into His Word, as we surrender to His authority, to His will, as we submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, as I said earlier, that mastery of sin over your life will dissolve. Is that good news? Amen. You need to say to God, God, not my will, but your will be done in my life. Say it. God, not my will, but your will be done in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the first way that Jesus came to redeem us is how? He came to redeem us from what? Slavery to what? Slavery to sin. He came to deliver us from slavery to sin. And how is that? What do we need to do? We need to put what in Jesus? We need to put trust and faith in Jesus. That prayer you prayed a year ago, 5 years ago is not enough. You need to have friendship with Jesus. And number two, slavery to sin is broken over your life. Number two, as you do what? As you become a slave of God by getting into His Word, learning what God's will is, by submitting to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The second way that Jesus came to redeem us is from what? It's found in Galatians 3, verse 13. We talked about this several months ago. Galatians 3, verse 13. And it says this. Paul writes to the Galatians, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Christ redeemed us. What does this mean? Christ redeemed, he set us free from the curse of the law. What is the curse of the law? We talked about this several months ago. The curse of the law is the consequence of transgressing God's law as found in Scripture. And the consequence, according to Deuteronomy 28:20, is death and destruction. In New Testament language, the curse of the law is eternal death. Jesus Christ set us free from eternal death by becoming what? A curse for us. How did Jesus Christ become a curse for us? Some might teach out there that Jesus became a curse by, on that cross, by becoming a sinner, by becoming a thief or a liar. That's not true. Jesus never became a thief. He never became a liar. Jesus became a curse for us by dying an accursed death of crucifixion. Jesus became a curse for us by taking on the wrath of God against sin for all humanity from the beginning of time. Jesus set us free from eternal death by dying on a cross for us. There is not one human being on the face of this earth that could have satisfied the wrath of God against sin. There was only one that could satisfy the wrath of God against sin, and that was Jesus Christ, God the Son. He died in place of us on that cross over 2,000 years ago so that we would not have to die in hell for eternity. Isn't that good news here tonight? Bears repeating, Jesus Christ died upon that cross over 2,000 years ago and set us free from eternal death so that we could experience eternal life in heaven forever and ever with God one day. Isn't that awesome? And in heaven, there is no more sorrow, there is no more pain, there is no more sickness, there is no more suffering. Heaven is a place of perfection. I look forward to going there one day. How about you? Yeah. All right. Heaven is an awesome, awesome place. And what does John write in 1 John 5, verse 12? You got a Bible you can turn there? 1 John 5, verse 12. And he writes this. This is awesome. 1 John 5:12. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. If you've got Jesus Christ, if you've put your faith and trust in Jesus, if you're submitting your life to the Lordship of Jesus, you have got life. This word life is Zoe. It's the very life of God. What is John writing? John is writing that when you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, eternal life began for you at that point. You know, when you put your faith in Jesus, at that point on this earth, eternal life began for you, and it will continue on in eternity when you leave this earth. Isn't that awesome? As I said a minute ago, in heaven, in eternal life, there is no more pain, there is no more sorrow, there is no more suffering, there is no more sickness. And if eternal life, if the very life of God has entered you in this world when you accepted Jesus, that means that you can have a taste of heaven in the here and in the now. You can experience healing in your body. You can experience peace in your emotions. You can experience financial prosperity in the here and now. You can have a taste of heaven on this earth. Because remember, when you accepted Jesus, the Zoe life of God entered you, and eternal life began for you at that point. Amen? So the second most important way that Jesus redeemed us, set us free, ransomed us, he set us free, he redeemed us, he delivered us from eternal death by dying an accursed death on that cross. That's awesome, isn't it? Isn't that awesome? We have been redeemed and delivered. Amen? And it's this Christmas Day, December 25th, it's this Christmas Day that we're celebrating the birth of Jesus who did this for us. He is so awesome, isn't he? I love him so much. How about you? So Jesus came to redeem us in two very important ways. Number one, he came to redeem us, set us free, ransom us from what? From wickedness and captivity to sin. How?
Amen.
How? By faith in him. By submitting to his lordship. Number two, Jesus came to redeem us from what? Eternal death. By faith in him. And you can start experiencing the life of God, a taste of heaven, on this earth. It all starts with faith and trust in Jesus.